Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here was our assignment. Each day, death strikes, and we live as though we were immortal. This is the greatest marvel. A wonderful practice at the Zen monastery is the ringing of the bell that signals the end of meal cleanup. Whatever we're doing, we stop, bow, and go to our next activity. The bell is a reminder that this moment, this breath, may be our last, and we won't have the luxury of negotiating one more breath to do that one last thing on our checklist. The voices would say that these reminders of the end are depressing and negative, but the bell peals to bring us to now and joyfully reminds us to live fully and wholeheartedly in the moment. Today, remember to marvel in each moment at the miracle of being alive. Record and listen. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our first caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hello, hey, Ramita.
Hello. I'm sitting here saying, oh, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me.
Are you sure you're saying that?
That's right. It's not me. That's conditioning saying that.
Yes. You're the one listening to it. You're the one hearing
the
it, right?
Yeah, I'm the one hanging in there and not hanging up and participating despite what conditioning has to say.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been seeing a lot of conditioning lately, and something really interesting happened the other day. Well, it's nothing new, but it was a renewed awareness. I was doing some yoga and feeling like I do when I feel yoga, when I, you know, present and happy and content, and then I heard conditioning come in with, why aren't you in joy? Why aren't you joyful? And it startled me for a moment, and then I realized that was the entree to go off with conditioning and list all the things, the reasons why I shouldn't be feeling what I'm feeling. And I caught it, and I'm celebrating that.
Once again, that experience of you're meant to believe that's you,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. that it has something to do with you, and so you need to get involved because it's you, mm-hmm. and you're present, you're disidentified, you see it for what it is because you're in awareness, and you realize, I don't need to do that. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It's meaningful as if the neighbor leaned in the window and ask the question.
Yeah. So, you know, the quote for today, you know, thinking about, well, not thinking about, recognizing that stopping when the bell rings, you know, there's so much ego investment in finishing this task, going through my list. And again, that's not me. And I haven't practiced
yeah.
with that. But I'm really intrigued by that explanation of what that can reveal, and it talked
yes.
me out of doing it. But I'll do it today.
Yes. That the growing awareness that you, what you really experience as you, is awareness. It's not that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I dropped in while I was doing the daily recollection this morning, you know, the practice of pure attention. I'm not what I'm seeing. I am the process of seeing it.
Yes. Yes. What is seeing is what is you.
Mhm. Mhm. A much larger identification, if you will, with something that
yes.
whole, and I'm part of it.
That's right. Well, it is you. It's not even that you're part of it. So when we take the I out of it, all together. So, again, Jude Kennett is the one that said this, that I heard it. I am not it. It is all of me.
Mm. Yeah, that's a koan.
Yes. Well, it is, and it is what you're experiencing. When we take the I out of it, then we realize that the awareness and attention that makes up, that enables the illusion of an ego, of a separate self, that awareness and attention is life, is intelligence, and it is what is me. Just as it is what is, I'm looking out my window at my hotai on the porch, and the hawk on the window, and the tree outside. The same intelligence is all of this.
Yes. It's it boggles the mind, and that's exactly what
we want
to happen.
That's right. That's exactly where we want to be, right? So if we could go with the little story for the morning, you know, if we could hear the bell ring and be in that truly present, we could say mind-boggling awareness of what's actually happening. Be glorious.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, and I'll continue to practice. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ramita. Glad you didn't hang up.
Me too.
Thanks, Ramita. It's a different interpretation of coming to now, to recognize that place that the intelligence that animates all.
Mm-hmm.
And just to practice that when the bell rings, we come back and look at everything and recognize that the eyes that are seeing it are the eyes of the intelligence that animates it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it does boggle conditioned mind, which, as Ramita points out, is exactly where we want to be, because that's when we're in an experience of the awareness. We're not the mind. It's obvious that I'm not the mind that's boggled, because there's awareness of the mind that's boggled. Mm-hmm. And my experience is awareness of the mind that's boggled. Mm-hmm. So, it's actually quite logical and reasonable as soon as we stop and watch it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Helga.
Well, hello, Helga.
Hello. Hi.
What are you seeing?
What am I seeing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I had no plans to call in, and it's the first time that I'm calling in here on this show. Something that Ramita was talking about made me want to talk. So because I went to my yoga class this morning, and I've been having a pretty rough time, like in my difficult time in my personal life, a lot of hurt and on top of it anger, all kinds of stuff coming up. And so there's a lot of conversation going on in my mind around it.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
in my yoga class, I just dropped in. I don't know how that happened. I dropped into this place of such sweetness. I don't know how to say it other than that. You know, it's just where, you know, the mind was quiet. This, I think that is the place of being. So it's, you know, not that I'm sweet. It's just that this sense of being that to me feels so incredibly sweet, and mm-hmm. all the chatter stopped and things slowed down. I came out of the class. I just, you know, feel like I'm suddenly present. I mm-hmm. see all the beauty around me. And I so appreciate it. I just felt like I'm present.
Mm-hmm.
So startling because the difference of where I have been these last few days and this moment where I feel like, and I feel that, you know, that is always available if
yes.
I stop hanging out in the mind and being,
that's right.
you know, wrapped up in the mind. It's like as long as there's life, there is that sweetness. There is that beingness that is so grounded in my body and anyway, it's just, it's such a profound experience. It's like, and I just thought of, you know, it's like, it feels like the bell has rung and I've come for a moment to what's really real, what is,
yes.
what is truly here. And, you know, and then all these other things that just kind of fell away for a moment, they just disappeared.
Yes.
And yeah, and it's so beautiful.
Yes, and it makes a person want to practice, doesn't it? Because
yeah.
what you're describing so well, what you experience and what you're describing so perfectly is the difference between being present in life, in the moment that is, and being lost in an egocentric conversation in conditioned mind.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what you experienced is how real the one is, presence, because you experience it, you feel it on every level.
Yeah.
Right? Every level, that is your experience. But when we're caught in that egocentric conversation and conditioned mind, we lose sight of everything. We're not aware that we're breathing. We're not aware that we have a body.
Yeah.
We're not aware of what other people are doing. We're not aware of anything. We're
yeah.
just completely consumed by ego
yeah.
in conditioned
yeah.
mind. And of course, ego yeah. desperately wants us to believe that that's what's real. And
right.
then we are blessed with an experience like the one you described. And we say to ourselves, I could live here all the time. That's possible.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
And that's why we practice.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
It's amazing. I mean, it's just so, I said, you know, and it's just, it's the heart opens, you know, and
yeah.
and that's where, you know, I think that's where that wanting to take care comes from, you know, that sense of being completely interconnected with everything.
Yes.
And it all comes from that place.
Yes. And the first thing I would project that happens is that you get to see what Helga is.
Yeah.
And you want to take care of her. You don't want her to suffer in that anguish and anger
yeah.
and all that stuff that tears up the body and destroys the mind and ruins
yeah.
lives. You don't
yeah.
want her trapped in that. You
yeah.
want to help her be free so that she
yeah.
can be, she can experience the love and compassion and kindness and interconnectedness that is life. And that's your experience. You've actually experienced what it is to be alive in life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now,
yeah.
of course, yeah, now you have to let go of it. But
exactly.
the thing that I hope is that you will make a ton of recordings.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Of that place, of exactly the way you told it to us, of what it felt like, what you saw, what the experience is, what you realized, what you want for Helga, what you want for the world, what you, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Make
mm-hmm.
those recordings.
Yeah.
Just go on and on and on and on, and then listen to them often. And as sometimes we say, you know, this would be a good time for the St. Francis prayer. Make me an instrument of peace. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let me be a channel for this. Let me let my life be this. So let me open to this so that this is available to all beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Makes me very happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well,
all right. Take good care, huh? Keep in touch.
Yeah, I will. I will. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Helga.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Helga. Sherry, I got bumped off the call, so I'm just going to bring the next caller live.
Oh, that's too bad. You'll have to listen to the recording because that was very fun.
Yes,
right. Here we go.
I got the tail end of it, so here we go.
You got the energy, huh? All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Oh, no.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hi. This is Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hi.
Hey, Richard.
Okay, yes, I'm so pleased because, I did the queue for the first time in a long time. That whole
Good
year.
Man.
Yes. And first time I try it, here I am on. And it's when I'm in the proper, when the bell stops and I'm with more of my true nature, I'm not in the fear and the ego and the conditioning and all that, I have a notion, I'll always be in the queue. It just seems so effortless and natural.
Yes, yes.
But I haven't been, and I've been locked up in conditioned mind, but it's getting easier to see it.
Yes. And Richard.
Yeah.
Do you have a growing sense that when you are seeing it, you are seeing it from where you want to be? You know what I mean by that?
Not exactly.
Okay. Well, if when you're stepped back enough, when you're disidentified enough,
right.
Any of us, but we're just talking to you.
Yeah.
When you're stepped back enough to see conditioning, that's an experience of being in awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yes. I love this whole awareness practice thing, and it's just getting more and more clear and understandable and a tool I can use. The techniques we've been practicing with Project Joy and the record and listen especially. So that's all.
That's all for you, but I want to talk about it some more, okay? because you know what conditioning, what ego wants us to believe is that seeing ego is not the right experience. That the right experience is not having ego be there. So if all I am is aware of conditioned mind and what it's doing, then ego is going to say, well, but you're still, conditioned mind is still there. So you're really not, you really haven't arrived yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
right.
So in that way, it fools us into getting back into relationship with it. Okay? That's how it tries to pull us in, just like Ramita was talking about. You know, it drops in one of these sentences, and we're meant to go, oh, right, that. And we leave awareness in order to get identified with conditioned mind and that conversation. So I just want to underline that so that when you say, you know, it's getting easier to recognize it. So when you recognize it, when you see that conditioning is there and you're watching how it's operating, even though you are affected by it, as long as you are seeing it, just to remind yourself that what you're having is an experience of being in awareness. And that begins to reinforce for us the place that we actually want to recognize as authentic or centered or very close to that. You see what I mean?
Oh, yes. Yes, well, exactly. And, of course, well put. You're very most excellent at expressing this, and I'm not. So people often want to know what it is I think I'm discovering and what's different and what I'm exploring. And I just never feel like I get an exact handle with the words. But little by little, step by step.
Little by little. And you know what you can do, Richard? You can give them the call-in information for open air.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Right? And let them listen in, you know, 13 years or whatever it is of archives of that radio show, lots of conversations. And they can get a sense for themselves then of what it is that you're into. And then as they get a little sense of that, it makes your job easier. you don't actually have to try to explain anything to them. They can have their own experience of what you're experiencing.
Okay, yes, exactly. And my kind of there's my ego again, criticizing myself about how, you know, every little thing it wants to, you know.
You've never done anything right, and according to it, you're never going to do anything right, which is why we increasingly lose interest in it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's what your mother taught you, right? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Well, ego just can't say anything nice. So the best we can do is just ignore it.
I would say that this is really the biggest revelation for me the last couple of years is realizing that there's really no point in engaging whatsoever in constant stream of thoughts, you know, except maybe when you want to write a poem or some music or there are uses for thought, but almost everything.
Well, no. Au contraire, sir.
Okay.
Because what you will see increasingly is when that music happens, it comes to you. It's not a thought. It drops in. And you recognize it.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
And the poem the same way. I was talking with people on Tuesday night in group at Center about the, I think it was Victor Hugo, Schwinnick can confirm that for me, but who did the little thing about the bird lands on the branch and you know, and I go to this place with that where I think how thrilled he was when that dropped in.
Mm.
You know? I know it did. It just dropped in of a piece. Just like you get music. It just drops in of a piece, right? And there's that moment of where you see it, you get it, you feel it, you realize it. And then, of course, our job, his job was to write down the little poem. Your job is to then take that music into sound besides inside your being and through an instrument and bring it into form in the world.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. No thought required.
Right. Nothing to do or undo.
Exactly. Yeah, except grin, maybe. That's our part.
Or Dan.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Richard. I think we can squeeze another caller in, Sherry. So
all right. Let's see who we're going to squeeze.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Ashwini. Sylvia.
Hello, Sylvia.
Hi. When I was listening to the conversation with the previous callers, I first put myself in the line to ask a question, but then I thought about asking another one, so I have two questions. could it be that there's a possibility of having different degrees of identification with ego? Like, because I find myself, like, sometimes really, like, ego assaulted, and there's no way I can get out of it, and I'm just there in the misery, in the fear mode, adrenaline goes up, and I just, and it's very difficult to shake it off. It's like a storm. But one,
yes.
However, Sylvia,
I just have to point out something to you right here, okay? If you were not in awareness as that was happening, you could not be describing it to us the way you are.
Yeah,
and
but
what
it's suffering.
It's awful. It's terrible. What I mean by that is, are you also aware of times in your life when you were probably experiencing the same things, but you were so unconscious, you were so lost in it that when it passes, you actually couldn't even describe it to somebody? I have entire years of my life like
that,
where I know I was completely unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It was a normal then. Almost.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything else.
Yeah.
Right. Good way to phrase it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but then I kind of like get out a little bit out of it, and I'm more aware, okay, that was just a bad situation, I was identified, it was like really, and I'm trying to get more engaged in life and in present. But I still have that voice, those voices there, like, yeah, but you know it's going to come again. Oh, but you know it's true. Oh, but you know the duh. And I'm still, I'm in awareness, like, seeing it, but at the same time, there's this little snippet voices still trying to get in still.
That's exactly right. And I bet everybody on this call is nodding, or could be, because what you're describing is how it is. So if we go back to what Helga was talking about, describing what you're describing, being caught in ego, being identified with ego, suffering over conditioning, you know, all of that sort of thing, where this is real, this is true, this content, that whole conversation, okay? And then suddenly you step outside of that. It falls away, however we want to talk about that. That's not there any longer. Attention is now completely with awareness in life. And we realize what's possible for us. That's a moment of grace, right, where we realize what's possible for us. Now, I think if we hadn't had those, I don't know, maybe we would have all committed suicide by now. Life were just relentlessly miserable all the time. But we have those moments of grace when we realize what's possible. Now we know what the work is. Now we know what this path actually is. What we're doing is learning to choose the unconditional rather than going with ego. And that's the game. And we can either recognize that that's just how it is and do it joyfully because life is on our side and we're waking up, or we can identify with ego and it's never going to work. You're never going to, oh, sure, that's possible, but it's never going to happen. And we'll be miserable. Now, in my experience, we spend a fair amount of time in that first part of, I think it was actually the second part, but where we are more identified with conditioned mind than not. We know it's possible, but we're still getting pulled under for long periods of time and with great regularity, right? But if we stay at it, right, it shifts. It shifts, and, and soon we're able to be more in the light than in the dark. And now we realize what we're doing is basically bringing the dark into the light.
Yeah.
That's ending karma.
Yeah. I was thinking about it the other day about being addicted to it. I was talking about someone that it has an addiction to a substance, and this person had a relapse, and then I thought, oh, this person's karma, which is this addiction, had a relapse, and I thought that's her karma.
Just like we do.
But then I thought, but this is my karma too. My story is my karma.
Right.
And my addiction.
That's right. That's right. It's the addiction to ego, which we all have. And that's the addiction we're overcoming. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It is.
It's good to see you, isn't it? All right. Thank you, Sylvia.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Keep in touch.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, good. All right, good.
Thank you,
bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. What a fantastic teaching, Sherry, in the conversation.
Mm. Yeah, we go to good places here in these little half hours, don't we?
We absolutely do. And we get to them.
It's the power of Sangha.
Yeah. And we get to them,
uh-huh.
get to the end of the half hour pretty quickly.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And I bet we're there, huh? So what are we looking
at?
Oh, it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So here's the assignment. To the person who is afraid, everything rustles. We're conditioned to believe we're afraid because we should be, that there are real things to fear, and that being afraid is just intelligent, sensible. But if we weren't afraid, would there be all those scary things to fear? Not everybody is afraid of the same things. Not everybody worries about or is anxious about the same circumstances or situations. Nor are people concerned in the same way. One person afraid of dying goes to the doctor at every opportunity, while another avoids doctors altogether. We're afraid of what we're afraid of because we've been taught to be afraid of those things in that way. There's nothing intelligent or sensible about being afraid. Fear just robs us of our lives. Today, when you're aware of the voices of worry, anxiety, or fear, remind yourself that being afraid doesn't make you safe. It just makes you afraid. Record and listen.
All right. Mm. I'm going to do that.
All right. Thanks
so
much, Sherry. Take care.
Thanks, everybody. All right. Go happy. Treasure yourself.
And we'll see you Monday.
See you Monday.